This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ilan Berman, Vice President for Policy at the American Foreign Policy Council here in Washington. He's also the author most recently of Winning the Long War, Retaking the Offensive Against Radical Islam. We want to get his thoughts today on a major development in the former Soviet Republic of Kyrgyzstan that could have an impact on our operations in Afghanistan. And we also want to get his reaction to the president signing the updated version of the START Treaty with the Russian president today in Prague. And Ilan, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, great to be back.
I would guess that a vast majority of Americans couldn't find Kyrgyzstan on a map and probably can't spell it. And I raise my hand in joining among them. I have heard of the place, but explain what has happened there with their government and how it impacts our posture in Afghanistan, which is not far away.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the first thing to know by way of background is that Kyrgyzstan is one of the five countries of Central Asia, and unlike others in Central Asia, it's desperately poor. It doesn't have a lot of oil reserves. What it does have is a very important strategic location that makes it a very crucial logistics hub for coalition operations going into and out of Afghanistan. And in the days after September 11th, the Bush administration spent a lot of time and successfully built a very robust military relationship with the government at that time of Askar Akayev in Kyrgyzstan. In 2005, Kyrgyzstan experienced what was what has come to be known as the Tulip Revolution, in which a grassroots wave of protests swept Akayev from power. His replacement was a man by the name of Kurmanbek Bakiyev, who promised a great deal of pro-democratic reforms. He didn't deliver on them. And what's been happening over the last 2 days has been that there's been another Tulip Revolution, and Bakiyev's been swept from power. There's a new caretaker government in place, and it looks like Kyrgyzstan is 5 years after the first pro-democratic protests is finally transitioning towards, you know, a very different political system.
And in terms of the new leader's posture towards the United States, it sounds like this will probably be a good relationship.
Well, I think it's too early to say definitively, but all early indications suggest that it will be. The new president is a lady by the name of Roza Otunbayeva. She is a pro-democracy activist. She's been an anti-corruption campaigner, and she's really someone who you couldn't pick a more perfect person to assume control over a government that, frankly, has become even more repressive and authoritarian than its predecessor. She really has the potential to turn Kyrgyzstan around in a big way, and if we position ourselves properly, we would benefit. Right now, the Obama administration's first priority has to be making sure that the United States and coalition forces still have access to the air base at Manas, which is the place where upwards of 15,000 U.S. personnel monthly rotate in and out of Afghanistan. But once it does, the conversation in Washington should turn to how do we leverage this new government, this new pro-Western stance, to our benefit? How do we dislodge Russia's influence? How do we use Kyrgyzstan more constructively than we have in the past?
Ilan, we've seen Russia, and of course, as we mentioned, Kyrgyzstan's a former Soviet republic. We've seen Russia obviously send troops into Georgia a couple of years ago. It certainly had its hand in the dealings inside the Ukraine and a couple of other republics. Do we expect any sort of Russian intervention to try and steer Kyrgyzstan towards a government it would prefer maybe a little more than this?
No, I don't think so. And I think if you look at what's been happening in places like Georgia and in places like Ukraine, it'd be fair to say that politics in the region have been going Russia's way up until now. The Kremlin's been actually very vocal about not wanting to stage manage politics in Kyrgyzstan for a variety of reasons, including the fact that they are also exposed there. They, Russia, as well as the United States, has a military base in Kyrgyzstan, and they don't want to get ousted. So I think here, for the first time, you have a real sort of potential for a democratic experiment in Central Asia, like what President Bush talked about all those years ago when he laid out the freedom agenda.
We're talking with Ilan Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council. And Ilan, President Obama, of course, was in the Czech Republic today signing the updated version of the START Treaty with the Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev. There's been a lot of different analysis of this, as well as the rest of the updated nuclear policy he discussed this week. The discussion in terms of the START Treaty has been anywhere from naive and reducing America's deterrence capability to taking a responsible step towards stopping the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Which one's closer to being right?
Probably the former. This agreement is an ideological one, and a rather unfortunate one, I would have to say, because the starting point for the new START treaty is that the Obama administration wants to take America out of the nuclear superiority business. We see this even more recently with the Nuclear Posture Review that was released on April 6th. But the Obama administration has an aversion to nuclear weapons, wants to draw them down, which in an ideal world is not a bad thing. But what the new START treaty does is it codifies a number of very dangerous trends. You know, the first one being that there seems to be a quid pro quo that's been hammered out between Moscow and Washington that prevents America from making missile defense all that it can be. The Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has actually gone on record and saying that we were promised curbs on future missile defense development on the part of the United States. The White House has been saying the opposite, and we won't know until the treaty actually comes out and is made public. But I think there's a lot of reason to worry that our agreement with Russia and Russian pressure is likely to constrain missile defense. And the second issue, a big-ticket issue, is the fact that we are on a nuclear holiday. For the last 17 years or so, the United States has been allowing its strategic arsenal to atrophy. We're not building new weapons. We're not modernizing our nuclear delivery systems. But the Russians are, and Russia's been engaged for over a decade in a very robust military modernization plan. And the current treaty draws down existing arsenals but doesn't put any curbs on future Russian development of nuclear weapons. And that means that the disparity in our arsenals is likely to increase, and not in our favor, the longer this treaty is in effect.
Milan, fascinating to follow, and I'm sure as the nuclear debate comes around once again when the Senate has to confirm this thing, or at least debate it on the way to potential confirmation, we might be talking about this again. Thanks very much for your time today, as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
Ilan Berman is the Vice President for Policy at the American Foreign Policy Council here in Washington. He's also the author most recently of Winning the Long War, Retaking the Offensive Against Radical Islam. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.